We are joined now by the manager of the Oakland A's, 10th season with the A's, three-time manager of the year, one of six managers in the history to win manager of the year in both leagues, led Oakland to back-to-back 97-win seasons, back-to-back spots in the postseason. We are joined by manager Bob Melvin. Bob, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How about yourself?
Good, good. You know, when you and I spoke back on March 9th, we talked about spring training and the potential of your team. And then, Bob, just 2 days later, Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz tests positive for COVID. Everything began shutting down. If we were to go back, what do you remember about hearing that news and then the initial news that Major League Baseball was going to postpone opening day for 2 weeks?
Yeah, that was really the tipping point. And, you know, things happened in a big hurry after that. So, you know, we heard the news. The next day, we're all at the ballpark watching it. And next thing you know, they're talking about shutting it down, and we're on our way to play a game. And next thing you know, it is shut down. So world's changed quite a bit since then. It's amazing how quickly things can turn like that. But, you know, it was a turn of events that happened very quickly.
We're talking to Bob Melvin. Bob, you also made the point that in the lead-up to the announcement of the suspension of spring training, you had a feeling that it was coming, and you'd been through this as many times as you have, spring training itself, so there's a level of control that you have within it. What's it been like to have that feeling of control to lose that feeling of control and effectively be at the mercy of the virus completely?
Yeah, it's you know, there's no roadmap for that, and there's, you know, we've been through a lot. You know, I've been in the game close to you know, 30-some years now, so nothing like this. And once we get back starting again, it's just going to be a day-by-day proposition. If you look too far out and expect something to happen and expect something to be a certain way by a certain time, I think you're in for some surprises. So we're just going to try to take it a day at a time. We're trying to insulate as a group. We need to try to stay healthy. So does the industry itself to get the not only started, but to try to get going and finish it. So it's going to be a daunting task, but I know our guys are excited about hopefully getting back on the field.
We're talking A's manager Bob Melvin, so you just touched on this in part, but like, as you look at this thing, what are your biggest priorities when you get together with your players this week?
Well, first of all, discussing a lot of what's gone on in the world, not just the virus, you know, the social injustice and a lot of things that we need to talk about as a group. But it's getting on the field, it's trying to grasp the 108-page document that we have, that we have to try to kind of go by the letter of the law, social distancing out on the field, masks and whatever, and just trying to get a handle on that. Hopefully after a couple of days, we can get into some sort of routine with all the things that we're going to have to do that aren't natural. But, you know, the bottom line is we all want to play baseball, so we have a lot we have to do.
Bob, I'm curious, like, what types of things were going through your mind as you read through that 108-page document?
You know, I put it down after a little bit because there's just too much to try to grasp. And like I said, if we can just grasp what we need to do on a particular day and move forward from there, and then the next period of time when, you know, you ramp up to, you know, inter-squad games and such, then, you know, it's a whole different set of rules that you have to grasp. To try to do it all at once, to me, just seemed a little bit too much.
A's manager Bob Melvin joins us once again. And normally you want a long spring training so you can build up the pitchers and then stretch them out. What will such a short spring training be like with them?
Well, that's going to be the most difficult part. Our guys, for the most part, have been throwing on their own. You know, we didn't have our camp open, so we didn't have some of the issues that some of the other camps did. But our guys took it on their own to social distance and try to keep themselves ready the best they can. We do have some young pitchers, and you know, obviously we're going to have to take a hard look at, you know, early on how we're going to deploy them and for how long. But you know what? We did go through, for the most part, an entire spring training. You wouldn't think it would take 6 weeks to get everybody ramped up like it does normally towards, you know, in a normal spring. So hopefully we just find a good balance.
We're talking to Bob Melvin. So there's no denying the potential of your team in terms of defense and offense and pitching. It's a team that's been growing and building for a while, and then you have this really unusual season. Like, how much do you think that 60-game season is going to impact players, and will it suit certain players better than others?
Yeah, it's a good question, and we'll see. I mean, you have to take it like your first game's an August game. And I've often said that teams and guys play differently once there's an eye on the finish line. So, you know, in the past, your first couple months kind of take stock of your team, make some adjustments, and then if you're in it, you go after it in August and September, and that's the way it's going to be right away for us. So our guys know that. Certainly we'll reemphasize it, but losing streaks are going to be difficult during this, and you hope to get off to a good start, obviously.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that, but one thing about the 60-game season, there's this argument that it might be a good thing for a team that's got younger starting pitchers because inning limits that might have been in place over 162 games wouldn't be as significant in a shorter season. What's your reaction to that argument, and when you hear it, what might that mean for A.J. Puck and Jesus Luzardo?
Yeah, no, it's actually, we probably would benefit by that. And Sean Manaea coming off an injury, too, where he only got so many innings last year as well. So we don't really have to worry about innings limits. And I think that's a good thing. So if you're all looking for silver linings, I think that is one for us.
We are talking about Melvin. So what about in a 60-game season, the stakes obviously are higher during every single game. As you mentioned, a 3-game losing streak can be really costly. How does that impact your approach as a manager during these games?
Well, you probably can't be as patient as you normally are over to 162, and you may have to take some guys out of the lineup or go to the bullpen a little bit earlier or do things a little bit differently because of the enormity of every game. But it is similar to August and September, so the only thing you don't have is a lot of at-bats, which guys normally do going into those months, and guys are having good season or guys are having bad season, and you can kind of go from there. It's going to be more, you know, each and every day is going to be more paramount in trying to make the right decisions because it's basically, you know, each game's worth three.
You know, Bob, I wonder about the intangibles. For instance, how much of success in a 60-game season is going to be about talent, and then how much is going to be about, like, team chemistry and having the right mental approach to the challenge?
Right, and staying healthy and trying to, you know, avoid the virus and insulate as best you can. I think the teams that keep their guys on the field are going to have a better chance. And, you know, we have a pretty good group of young position players. We have our young starters here now. So that's going to be a point of emphasis for us is, you know, it's about staying healthy and staying safe. And, you know, the teams that can play with their best players over the course of these 60 games probably have the best chance.
We're talking to Bob Melvin for another moment or so. Before I let you go, Bob, I want to ask you about Craig Counsell because he was recently talking about the impact you had on him as a manager. And before I get into one of the pieces of praise he had for you, you said that you knew that he was going to be a manager a long time ago. What did you see in him that made you feel that way?
Just the way he watched the game, the questions that he asks me. You know, it was a lot of the similar things that Johnny Oates told me when I was in Baltimore. You know, I'd go up and ask him a question during the game, and he'd look at me and he goes, you know, he'd say stuff like, you know what, you have a future in this. You know, you watch the game like a manager does, which a lot of catchers are programmed to do, but Counts was always one of those guys. He got the most out of his ability. You know, he was a guy that was in the dugout when he wasn't starting and watching the game the right way, and just had it in him. You could see that as a manager early on with him.
So let me ask you this. He told the Athletic website, quote, "This job isn't to be a player's friend every day. Sometimes the player's got to be uncomfortable because that's how they get better. That's a needle you have to thread, and Bob was always able to thread that," end quote. So, like, what's your approach to threading that needle?
Well, you know what? You try to have empathy, and you try to, you know, have a good relationship with your players, but you also are going to have to make tough decisions that aren't going to be popular with them. And a lot of times what I try to say is, I go, you know, look at this situation right here. If we had X or Y hitting and not them, you know, not this particular guy that I was talking to, how would you handle this situation? And they'd say, well, you know, this is a better matchup. I go, well, sometimes that affects you. But that matchup that you're not getting, when that lefty comes in, you're going to get it later on. So we're trying to get everybody up there in the best possible situations to succeed for themselves and for the team.
So let me finally ask you this then. He calls you a mentor, but a friend first. What's it like when you have an opportunity to manage against friends? Like, is that fun, or is that kind of a tricky thing to navigate?
Depends. It can be tricky. You know, he looks like he's 15 years old over there, so sometimes he doesn't look like the manager. He looks like a player, but you can see the respect that his team has for him. So you just try to maintain and manage your game, manage your team, and kind of get a kick out of knowing that you may have had a little bit of an impact on a certain guy.
For sure. He is a three-time Manager of the Year, and once again, one of only six managers ever to win Manager of the Year in both leagues, A's manager Bob Melvin, my guest. Bob, great to have you back. Let's hope we get some baseball in soon, and always good to talk to you. Stay safe.
You got it, Jim. Hey, you're a horse guy, I hear, right?
That is true. I am.
So in my time off here, I've been volunteering over at a place called Tierra Madre, which is a horse and human sanctuary where they rescue horses here.
Yes.
And my wife and my daughter and I, Jim Gath, who runs the place, it is such a terrific place, and I've learned so much about horses and their personalities. And actually, there were a couple of horses over there that are racers, and one of them actually had some bloodlines for Secretariat and Seattle Slough. So in my time off, I've been over there quite a bit and getting the new horses, and thought you might get a little bit of a kick out of that.
Bob, I love that. Really quickly, since you brought that up, help me explain this. Like, I've tried to explain, not everybody understands horse racing. They're amazing animals. Amazing animals with personalities and an athletic background. What's it like to be around those horses? What's that been like for you as somebody who's been around athletes your whole life?
It's incredible. And I never knew that horses had these type of personalities. And this sanctuary is for the horses to relate to people, too. I mean, they have such huge spirits, and you get to know each and every one. I think there's like 19 over there, and I change their water bowls in the morning, and some are a challenge, and other ones want to play, and other ones want to make it difficult on you, and, you know, it's just such a great place. It's called Tierra Madre in Cave Creek, Arizona, and, in a difficult time when we're waiting to play baseball, it really has been a soothing experience for me and my wife, Kelly, and my daughter, Lexi.
I absolutely love that. I'm so glad you and your family have that. That is a great story to share, Bob. Thanks for sharing that. I really think that's great.
Appreciate that.
All right, have a great day. Bob Melvin, he's so right. And this is what I've tried to explain over the years. When you say, hey, Rome, you're not going to talk about that again, are you? Yeah, great, Rome, we get it. You own a few horses. They're amazing.